unhappy. He says he sent a note 10 days ago that you people were to get copies of all your market penetration research over to us for analysis. We never got a thing. Market penetration research? Nobody said anything to me about it. What department are you in? We're a consulting firm he hired, and we're already behind schedule. Listen, I'm just on my way to a meeting. Let me get your phone number and... The attacker now sounded just short of truly frustrated. Is that what you want me to tell Mr. Bigley? Listen, he expects our analysis by tomorrow morning, and we have to work on it tonight. Now, do you want me to tell him we couldn't do it because we couldn't get the report from you, or do you want to tell him that yourself? An angry CEO can ruin your week. The target is likely to decide that maybe this is something he better take care of before he goes into that meeting. Once again, the social engineer has pressed the right button to get the response he wanted. Analyzing the con. The ruse of intimidation, by referencing authority, works especially well if the other person is at a fairly low level in the company. The use of an important person's name not only overcomes normal reluctance or suspicion, but often makes the person eager to please. The natural instinct of wanting to be helpful is multiplied when you think that the person you're helping is important or influential. The social engineer knows, though, that it's best, when running this particular deceit, to use the name of someone at a higher level than the person's own boss. And this gambit is tricky to use within a small organization. The attacker doesn't want his victim making a chance comment to the VP of marketing. I sent out the product marketing plan you had that guy call me about, can too easily produce a response of, what marketing plan? What guy? And that could lead to the discovery that the company had been victimized. Mitnick message. Intimidation can create a fear of punishment, influencing people to cooperate. Intimidation can also raise the fear of embarrassment or of being disqualified from that new promotion. People must be trained that it's not only acceptable but expected to challenge authority when security is at stake. Information security training should include teaching people how to challenge authority in customer-friendly ways without damaging relationships. Moreover, this expectation must be supported from the top down. If an employee is not going to be backed up for challenging people regardless of their status, the normal reaction is to stop challenging, just the opposite of what you want. What the Social Security Administration knows about you. We like to think that government agencies with files on us keep the information safely locked away from people without an authentic need to know. The reality is that even the federal government isn't as immune to penetration as we would like to imagine. May Lin's phone call. Place: a regional office of the Social Security Administration. Time: 10:18 a.m., Thursday morning. Mod 3, this is May Lin Wang. The voice on the other end of the phone sounded apologetic, almost timid. Ms. Wang, this is Arthur Arundale in the office of the Inspector General. Can I call you May?
It's May Lin, she said.
Well, it's like this, May Lin. We've got a new guy in here who there's no computer for yet, and right now he's got a priority project, and he's using mine. We're the government of the United States, for crying out loud, and they say they don't have enough money in the budget to buy a computer for this guy to use. And now my boss thinks I'm falling behind and doesn't want to hear any excuses, you know?
I know what you mean, all right.
Can you help me with a quick inquiry on MCS, he asked, using the name of the computer system for looking up taxpayer information.
Sure, what you need?
The first thing I need you to do is an alpha dent on Joseph Johnson, DOB 7469. Alpha dent means to have the computer search for an account alphabetically by taxpayer name, further identified by date of birth. After a brief pause, she asked,
what do you need to know? What's his account number? He said, using the insider's shorthand for the Social Security number. She read it off. Okay, I need you to do a Numidint on that account number, the caller said. That was a request for her to read off the basic taxpayer data, and Mei Lin responded by giving the taxpayer's place of birth, mother's maiden name, and father's name. The caller listened patiently, while she also gave him the month and year the card was issued and the district office it was issued by. He next asked for a DEQY, pronounced DEQY, it's short for Detailed Earnings Query. The DEQY request brought the response, "For what year?" The caller replied, "Year 2001. Mei Lin said, "The amount was $190,286. The payer was Johnson Microtech. Any other wages?" "No." "Thanks," he said. "You've been very kind." Then he tried to arrange to call her whenever he needed information and couldn't get to his computer, again using the favorite trick of social engineers of always trying to establish a connection so that he can keep going back to the same person, avoiding the nuisance of having to find a new mark each time. "Not next week," she told him, because she was going to Kentucky for her sister's wedding. Any other time, she'd do whatever she could. When she put the phone down, Mei Lin felt good that she had been able to offer a little help to a fellow unappreciated public servant. Keith Carter's story. To judge from the movies and from best-selling crime novels, a private investigator is short on ethics and long on knowledge of how to get the juicy facts on people. They do this by using thoroughly illegal methods while just barely managing to avoid getting arrested. The truth, of course, is that most PIs run entirely legitimate businesses. Since many of them started their working lives as sworn law enforcement officers, they know perfectly well what's legal and what isn't, and most are not tempted to cross the line. There are, however, exceptions. Some PIs, more than a few, do indeed fit the mold of the guys in the crime stories. These guys are known in the trade as information brokers, a polite term for people who are willing to break the rules. They know they can get any assignment done a good deal.